All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn back to the Old Testament book of the Psalms, and specifically Psalm 104. Psalm 104. All right, now I'm going to need you to pay attention this morning. I'm going to paint you a picture this morning. And going to be a lot of imagery and a lot of pictures that I'm going to give you. And I think it'll encourage you a little bit and help you a little bit. How many of you are glad winter is over and spring is here? Would you raise your hand? Me too. So much so that I'm preaching on the subject this morning. Seriously. All right, look at your Bible. This psalm is a psalm of praise to from David, a psalm of praise to God for creating everything and for sustaining everything. Not only did God create the universe, the earth, man, all the animals, the plants, he not only created it all, but he upholds all things by the word of his power. God keeps it all together. And the psalmist here is basically praising God for how he does this, for sustaining everything. He talks about how he was praising God because God feeds the animals. How God takes care of nature and provides for nature, how God takes care of us and how God provides for us. He just praising the Lord for all these wonderful things that God does through his mighty power. Now, if you will look at verse 24, I'll start reading there and you'll kind of get the gist of the psalm. And then I will give you my text in just a moment. But look at verse 24. The psalmist says, O Lord, how manifold are thy works. So God does all, without God, the whole world would just cease. It would just end. But God upholds all things. He keeps everything going. God sustains this universe that he created. So the psalmist just throws his hands up and says, Lord, how manifold are thy works. In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. So is this great and wide sea. Now he's talking there about probably the Mediterranean Sea. So is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable. We go to the beach every summer down in Seabrook Island, and I very rarely get in the water. You know, there's an innumerable amount of creeping things in that water. You know what I'm saying? Come on, Papa, come on, let's get in the water. I'll watch you from right here. Yes, indeed. I don't know about that, but he said creeping. Innumerable things, both small and, this is the operative word right here, great. Great. There's not any little ones, big ones. All right? Beast. God calls them beast. So I'm going to stick with God on this. All right, look at verse 26. There go, where? On the sea. There go the ships. There is that Leviathan, whom thou hast made to play therein. Now, what's Leviathan? Well, that's the whale. If you go to Job, that's the name of the book, not Job, all right? You don't look for employment in the book of Job, okay? It's Job. And in chapter 41, verse 1, Job talks about the Leviathan. And the King James translators have in their footnote, in their margin, they have whale. All right, so the psalmist here said that that the sea is where the ships go, and that's where the whales play. where the whales play. All right, verse 27. These wait all upon thee. So everything waits on God. We are at God's disposal. God's the one that provides. We wait on the Lord to provide for us. It has not rained here in Carroll County for a couple of weeks, and several folks have already planted their garden, and I've heard folks say, I'm just waiting on the Lord to send the rain. Well, I told you Wednesday night that it would rain on Saturday. Now, I'm not a prophet, nor am I the son of a prophet. However, I knew that it was going to rain on Saturday. You say, Pastor, how'd you know that? Because we had the golf tournament scheduled for Saturday. That's how I knew. Never fails. Sky's blue, grass is green, a bear has hair, and it rains every time we have a golf tournament. Just the way it is. Well, we waited on the Lord, and he sent the rain. All right, verse 27, it said, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. That thou givest them, they gather. That thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thine hand, they are filled with good. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Boy, when God hides his face from you, whoo, ought to preach on that. When God hides his face, I see a sermon in there. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die, and return to their dust. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created. Now here's my text, watch this now. And thou renewest the face of the earth. You know what the psalmist is talking about right there? Spring. It's God who brings the springtime. It is through the hand of God that the face of the earth is renewed in the spring. And in verse 31 says, the glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. All right, now let's pray together. And then I want to speak to you about the springtime. I am so thankful for spring. Man, it was a long, rough, cold, snowy, windy winter. And spring really just hit us in the last 2 weeks. So I was just reading this verse about 2 weeks ago when everything was in full bloom. And I saw, and thou renewest the face of the earth. And I thought, wow, the psalmist said God brings the springtime. And so I want us to talk about what we can learn from God renewing the face of the earth. What can we learn about God from the fact that spring is here? Let's pray together. And in the message, our Father, thank you so much for your word. And Lord, we thank you for renewing the face of the earth this year. Oh, it was a long winter and cold and snowy and icy. And Father, we just thank you for renewing the face of the earth. And it's so refreshing to go out and see the trees blooming and the leaves and the grass green and the flowers. It's just so refreshing. And Lord, we thank you for your blessing. And I pray now you'll help us to learn some things this morning about you, about your character, about your person, as we think about the matter of springtime coming. And so, Lord, I pray you'll fill me with your spirit and help me as I speak this morning. And help us to listen and to see the pictures and to be able to associate the pictures with the reality of God and your grace and your goodness to us. So bless us now this morning and encourage our hearts. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. In this glorious psalm, David is telling us about how the Lord takes care of his wonderful creation. The author of the book of Hebrews tells us that the Lord upholds all things by the word of his power. Now, you just think about that. God takes care of everything. What keeps an asteroid from flying in and hitting the Northeast? What prevents that? Well, God looks after us. God takes care of us. I could go on and give you example after example, but I need to get to the heart of the message. But I think you understand that the Bible tells us that God, the Lord, takes care of all that He's created. If you think, as the scoffer said in 2 Peter 3, Peter said that in the last days the scoffer would stand and say that, well, since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. If you think that, then you misunderstand clear Bible teaching that tells us that the Lord looks after everything that He has created. We are not just sitting here spinning around on this ball that we call the earth without control, without being watched over, without being sustained by the hand of the Lord Himself. The Apostle Peter said this in 2 Peter 3:7. He said, "The heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store." So the same God who spoke and created everything, Peter said, that same God now speaks and keeps everything operating and functioning for our benefit. So this psalm is the psalmist praising the Lord and admonishing us to praise the Lord because He takes care of this world that He has created. Now, that brings me to the 30th verse and the phrase that I have selected to develop my message around this morning. In this 30th verse, in the second half of the verse, an interesting statement caught my eye. David said, "Thou renewest the face of the earth." And that caught my eye because and I'm sure that there have been other past winters where I was so glad winter was over and so thrilled that spring was finally here, but I cannot remember one where I was as delighted as I have been this year. You know, I've had folks tell me, well, you know, as I get older, winter becomes more and more difficult to bear. Well, I'm starting to understand that theology, to be honest with you. I like the summer. I like the spring. I like the fall. I despise the winter. It just gets harder and harder each year, it seems, the older I get. Well, one thing's for sure, spring is finally sprung. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for that. The trees are blooming. The flowers are popping out everywhere. The fields have been planted, and you can see the growth as it begins. The pollen is an inch thick on everything, and we're all sneezing and coughing and taking allergy medicine. But it's worth it. Thank God we're not still in winter. Amen. So as our world around us wakes up from a brutal winter, and God renews the face of the earth, let's give God credit. Let's praise the Lord for what He is doing by renewing the face of the earth. Now, I stopped and thought about that phrase, renews the face. Renews the face. And I thought, now, how can I get us how can I give us an illustration, an example, to help us understand what the psalmist is saying here about God renewing the face of the earth? And this is what crossed my mind. You know, your face tells a lot about you. Does it not? I mean, if you had World War III before you got out of the car this morning and came into church, I can normally sit here and look over the congregation, which I do every service, and I can pretty much tell who won the war in your car. Let me give you an example. Somebody goes to the doctor, and the doctor sees something and says, we better take a look at that. And so they set up a test, and the person giving you the test is not supposed to give anything away. But then when they zero in that scope, or they zero in that x-ray, you see a on their face, then you get a little nervous and you start fretting, and then the old flesh kicks in, and the next thing you know, you see yourself dead and in the ground in 6 months. But then the phone rings, and the doctor says, we looked at this from every angle. We can't find anything wrong with you, and your blood work all comes back good. I think you're fine. Well, you've got a renewed face when that doctor hangs up the phone. You with me on that? Imagine someone who has a loveless life, but then love comes strolling along their path, and suddenly the face of the one smitten with love is renewed. That one is suddenly renewed. Their face is renewed. And folks, we need to realize that God never renews a human face by any kind of an external application. No, when God renews the face of a person, it is renewed from the inside out. You with me on that? So let me say it this way. God's beauty parlor is the heart. God's beauty parlor is the heart. You know, I really think that there's not a whole lot wrong with most of us if we would just keep our hearts right with God. There's really not a whole lot wrong with your relationship with your spouse, but what if you would just personally keep your heart right with God, things would go it would be a whole lot brighter picture. Amen. So, when God pours new life and love into your heart, it radiates out of your face. And God does the same thing with the earth. God does the same thing every spring with the earth. Springtime is not an outward application. God does not renew the face of the earth outwardly, it's done inwardly, and it comes out of the earth itself, and it is a sign of new life that has begun to thrill within the heart of God's creation, which was completely designed and created by God Himself. So the old earth grows new again. And all the harsh lines and wrinkles of a long, hard winter are all wiped away. And we rejoice in the miracle of spring. Every year, God does the same thing. I heard this thing on Rush Limbaugh the other day. I was eating lunch in the car and listening to Rush Limbaugh and doing the crossword puzzle all at the same time. And I made a mess on my tie. I went home, put it in the freezer so it wouldn't spoil, but not this tie, another one. But they had this ad on, and it said, would you like to get rid of those bags under your eyes? And I said, yes! And they got this cream now, this stuff, and you put it on your eyes, and guaranteed the bags are going to go away. It's amazing how we all want to stay young, isn't it? All right, so spring comes right on time. It did. It came a little late this year for my liking, but thank God it came, just as God said it would. And God has renewed the face of the earth. Now, what can we learn from this? What can we learn from this? There are three things I want to show you. Number one, we learn that God is ever faithful to us. Just like every year previous, spring finally came. How many times have we been let down by others in life? How many times have we been let down by friends, by church family, by people, by sometimes even those that love us and whom we love? But listen, dear friend, this you can count on. God will never let you down. Never. Each spring is a reminder that God will never go back on not even one promise that he has made. Do you remember way back in the book of Genesis when God created everything that is, and he promised that there would never come a time where seed would not bring forth a harvest? God promised that. And every year, that promise has been fulfilled. I've only seen 60 of them, but in the 60 that I've seen, it always comes. Springtime always comes. Not once has God ever missed it. The promise was made, and that shows me that I can count on God doing what he said he would do. From the beginning of time, men have planted the seed in the ground, and the seed has brought forth its harvest. And for thousands of years now, the promise that God made all the way back in the beginning in the Garden of Eden, for thousands of years now, the promise has never failed even one time. Even though in December and January and February and March and April, as it was with this year, it did not seem that God was going to be able to keep his promise for a while. I can remember just a couple of weeks ago looking out the window of my office and seeing brown, just dead grass everywhere still. But then all of a sudden, just like that, it all turned green. And now David and them are out there mowing it every day. It's amazing, folks. But God has never broken his promise. Never have. And no matter how long you live, you're never going to see God break a promise. Not even once. Not once has God failed to renew the face of the earth. On cue, each and every year, God renews the face of the earth. Now, is there a practical application that we can glean from this thought? Is there not something that we can take from this thought and it be a blessing to our hearts? I think there is. I think there is a lesson that I can use. I think there is a lesson that you can use. Every one of us can apply this lesson to our hearts and we can be blessed. And the lesson is this. It can teach us to trust in him even in the darkest of times. Folks, if you look back at this winter, it was a brutal winter. I mean, the records show that we had a long and brutal winter. But listen, you can trust in God. In January, when the snow is flying and the ground is frozen and the wind is howling and everything that was green is, it seems dead and is brown. Learn not to despair and never doubt that the God of heaven will always keep his promise. Even in the darkest of times. Learn that you can commit your soul to the Lord in well-doing. Hold your place here. Let me have you go over to the New Testament, to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 4. 1 Peter, chapter 4. I know that I don't normally have you turn to compare Scripture with Scripture on Sunday morning, but I want to do it this morning. I think it's appropriate and it amplifies the point. 1 Peter chapter 4. Look at verse 19. He's talking here about persecution, about the saints being persecuted in the church. And look at verse 19. He said, "Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing." In well-doing. Now notice that, folks. He's talking about persecution. And he said, if a day ever comes when you are persecuted for your faith in Christ, you can have confidence that you can commit your soul to God in well-doing. God will fulfill His promises. God will do what He said He's going to do. But now look at the last part. He's talking about the Christian committing his soul to the Lord. But then in the last part of the verse, he says, as unto a faithful, what's the next word? Creator. And what's the point? The point is that ever since God created the earth, ever since God created the world and set things in motion and made the promise that every year the seed could be planted and it will bring a harvest, every year God has fulfilled and done what He said He's going to do. Every year, folks, as a faithful creator, God knows you and I've got to eat. God knows that the animals have to eat. God created us this way. So He made the promise all those years ago. And every year, the psalmist said, God renews the face of the earth. So here we sit in 2015, and we look at our world around us, and we say, oh my. We listen to the doctor's report, and we go, oh mercy. We look at our job, and our expenses, and our bills, and our health, and everything else, and we throw our hands up in despair. But wait a minute. You've got a faithful creator who has made a promise to you, and He'll never go back on not even one promise that He's made. So when the springtime rolls around, instead of going, well, glory to God, I get to play golf now, what we ought to do is say, glory to God, look at the faithfulness of my God. Look at the faithfulness of my God. And if He is not going to break a promise concerning this earth, wow, He's certainly going to keep every promise that He's ever made to me. Amen. As one of His children. You see, folks, when you read this wonderful psalm and you read of how God keeps His promises and provides for the trees and the birds and the animals and the little beast and the big beast, and if He will provide for the smallest and the poorest of His creatures that He has created, will He not take care of the greatest prize of His creation, which is us, His own? You see, God renews the face of the earth, and He provides for His own. So we ought to look at this, and every time you walk out now and you see the trees blooming and you see the flowers budding and you see the grass that needs mowed, just lift your hand up in the air and say, oh, thank God for His faithfulness. For the psalmist said, He's the one that renews the face of the earth. Everybody getting this?
Yes.
Am I the only one getting blessed here? Man, this thrills my soul just thinking about it. Second thing I want you to see. I want you to see in this the tenderness of God. The tenderness of God. You see, when God renews the face of the earth, the hard bitterness of winter is past. The bitterness, the hardness of winter is past. And a new sense and feeling of tenderness is in the air. It is in the tenderness of spring when the little helpless animals are born out in the wild. It is in the springtime when the shepherds would shear their lambs and take the long, thick wool that protected them from the harshness of winter's cold. So there's a tenderness about the springtime coming. And in the spring, God tempers the wind as spring comes. And He renews the earth's face. Delicate leaves appear. Tender buds pop out on the fruit trees. And fragile little flowers appear in the ground. So God displays his tenderness and he brings the warmth and the sunshine upon the earth. Cannot all of us remember just a few weeks back when the brutal winds blew and everything in Carroll County looked as dead and as hopeless as it could be? And at the end of March, if someone had pronounced last rites upon our county, I think we all would have said, yep, I think it's dead too. That's probably a good idea. But wait a minute. Winter is never God's last word. Winter is never God's last word. And although this year it did not seem like it, spring finally came. It was a few weeks later than what we were expecting, but thank the Lord, it finally made it. And God's tenderness burst through in the dreariest and darkest hours. Oh, that we would look at nature, look at our creation around us, and see the tenderness of God. As the faithful Creator, our God is always right on time. And today we can see everything blooming and the trees are alive and a thousand shades of green lay against every field. I mean, how could we ever hesitate for a minute to commit our souls to God, who has shown us, especially this spring, that we can trust him even when everything seems desolate, as unto a faithful Creator? And then thirdly, we can see the abundant lavishness of God's goodness. Oh, as he's renewed the face of the earth, there is this excessive lavishness that God always puts on display for us in the spring. Isn't it amazing? It's just amazing. A couple weeks ago when Boaz and Elijah were here, Boaz, our guide from Israel, and he came to the States for a few weeks and came here to visit us. And as we were driving home from the airport, he said it a dozen times, man, how beautiful are these trees that are blooming. And we would be going along and he'd say, what kind of tree is that? And I'd tell him. And what kind of tree is that? And I'd tell him. And well, we don't have those in Israel. Man, that's beautiful. And he would just go on and on and on. What's that one? What's that one? And there were a few of them. I'll be honest with you, I didn't know what they were. So I just made stuff up. No, I'm kidding. No, I didn't. I told her, I don't know what that is, but it sure is pretty, isn't it? Oh, listen, there's a lavishness in spring that just seems to overwhelm us all. The daffodils, the tulips, the dogwoods, the cherry, the crab apples, all the bushes that bloom. And they just seem to all hit us at once, don't they? Boom, there it is. And you know, some critical soul might ask, well, what's the purpose of all this at once? Why can't we stretch this out a little bit? Well, folks, can I remind you that there was a story in the New Testament where our Lord was connected that might tie into this. Do you remember when the alabaster box was broken? And when that precious ointment was used to anoint the Savior? And that same question was asked, was it not? Why all this waste? Why all this lavishness? Could not this ointment have been sold and given to help the poor? Karen and I have a bush that is at the edge of our house. We had two of them. One of them died. So now we just have one. But and in the spring, it gets these little white buds on it, and oh, is it aromatic. I mean, you can smell it all over the place. It wafts through the windows. And Boaz was just blown away by that. When we got out of the car, he said, what is that? And I said, what is what? He said, something smells good. I said, thank you. He said, no, it's not you. And I said, it's that bush over there. And but about 10 days, that's it. Then it's gone. Then it turns green and that's it. Nope, no more fragrance. But boy, when it hits all at once. And it's just full. Now, while this waste, could not this ointment have been sold and given to the poor? But you remember the Lord rebuked them for criticizing this woman's devotion. Was he not broken and poured out for each and every one of us? What a beautiful picture it was that she anointed his body with that lavish oil. Her excessive lavishness was used to get them to see the spirit of his sacrifice for us. And we should be mindful today as we see the face of the earth renewed of the abundant lavishness of God's goodness to each and every one of us. Listen, folks, I'll be honest with you. I've been thinking about this message. I've been thinking about this verse for a couple of weeks now. And I just couldn't get it where I wanted it. But when you go home today, just look, pay attention, notice the trees, notice the flowers, notice people's flower beds and the hanging pots on their porches and the blooming trees in people's yard, and just stop and think about it, but don't look at it and say, wow, they've got a nice place. No, look at it and say, wow, God sure is good to us. Because it's God that made that bloom. It's God that made that tree. And then just look at it as a reward. God's lavish reward for the brutal winter that we had to endure. And give him praise and glory. But that's just like the God we serve, is it not? To just do over and abundant. Did he not do that with your salvation? Did he not do that when he reached down in the pit and lifted you out? Did he not do that when he changed your heart and put a new song in your mouth, even praise to our Lord? You know, there are some of you sitting right here this morning in 2015, and should we go back 5, 10, 15 years ago, you would never today, or you would have never back then seen yourself sitting here this morning. But that's just how God is. Thank God for his lavishness. Thank God. I mean, you see, folks, that's what love does. Love never asks, how little can I do? Love always asks, how much can I do? Love delights to give to the uttermost so everyone knows who has been loved. But as I close this message, let me remind you that this lavish nature of our Lord is something we'd better get used to, because we're going to see it again. You with me? There's a verse in 1 Corinthians 2:9 where the Apostle Paul said, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." You better get used to lavishness. You better get used to God pouring out abundant blessing. For one of these days, I mean, if you think it's wonderful that winter fades away and God renews the face of the earth, just wait until life here on earth fades away and we are face to face with the one who made us, the one who redeemed us. We are face to face with the one who welcomes us home to be with him. Folks, listen, when we are renewed in heaven, he shall wipe away all tears from our eyes. Oh, what a glorious day that's going to be. Just imagine. You think springtime is good? Just wait till you get heaven time. Just wait till you see the tree of life that grows by the river of life. It changes fruit every month. Just wait until you see the heaven that he has prepared for us. He told the disciples, "Let not your heart be discouraged. Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Not repair, prepare. And he's been up there for 2,000 years now. And folks, can I remind you that by trade, our Savior was a carpenter. So can you imagine what kind of place he's built for us up there? Amen and amen. So this lavishness, that's nothing new for him. That's nothing new for him. I remember years ago hearing, I think it was Lester Roloff. And Lester Roloff preached a sermon one night on, can you imagine being John, the Apostle John? Can you imagine being John? And we all sat there and thought, well, where's he going with this? And he said, just imagine being John. John was taken up to heaven, and then he had to describe it. Can you just imagine being John? And he said, I can imagine that John got up there and got to looking around. He goes, oh my goodness, there's streets of gold up here. Oh my goodness, there's walls of jasper up here. There's gates of pearl. And he started describing the gate. And gates of pearl, can you imagine the oyster where big enough to get a gate out of? Oh, he went on for an hour just talking about all that John saw. The lavishness. Folks, if God is this lavish with spring, can you imagine what heaven's going to be like? So as you go from here this morning and get in your car and you start out the road today, and we're still, it's all so new. We haven't got used to the green yet. We haven't got used to the flowers yet. It's all still fresh. It's only been out a couple of weeks now. So as you're driving down the road today and you see the remaining buds on that crabapple tree, or you see the remaining flowers on the bushes, instead of going by and saying, wow, look at that guy's yard, go by and say, wow, God's renewed the face of the earth. Give him the praise and glory for it. That guy that lives in that house, he didn't have anything to do with it. It was God that did it. So let's give God the praise, for he's the one that renews the face of the earth. Aren't you glad you serve a God who is able? Let's pray together.